Говорилось, что когда он в одном месте молился и перестал, один из учеников его сказал ему: «Господин, научи нас молиться, как и Иоанн научил учеников своих».
This has got a hard
feedback, so I'll let you play with that first. Do you want to try it again? Okay, try it again. How's that? Is that working all right?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. So, Miriam, what language is that you just read out in? What language was it? Russian? Whoa! I had a 50-50 guess there, actually. Hey, so if you're visiting or if you've forgotten, what we've been doing is we've been regularly reading the scriptures in other languages. This is to remind us that the gospel, the good news of Christ, is for everyone, not just for the white middle-class guy, but it's the white middle-class guy in Russia as well. It's for all people, isn't it? It's for all people. And so we're working through different languages as we read our scriptures to remind ourselves that Jesus came for all. Jesus came for all. This morning, our passage was from Matthew, or did you do the Luke one? Luke 11:1. So this is our passage this morning. It's found in both Matthew 6 and Luke 11. It's the Lord's Prayer. But the specific passage that was read this morning is this beautiful part that I love. It's the precursor to it that's found in Luke. Let me bring it up. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." We can look at the Lord's Prayer and we can approach it in a systematic way, and there are things that we can learn from that. But I want to capture these first words said by one of the disciples. "Lord, teach us to pray." I love this. Because it's from a person who seeks to assume nothing beyond the fact that the words of life that are going to come from Christ in response to his question, that is what he needs to know. When we come to God, when I come to prepare a message, when we come to church, when we sit in the street with somebody, our first response should always be, "Lord, give me your words." That's where prayer starts. God, I've got nothing. I've got nothing that is worth eternal life, except that which you have given me. Lord, teach us to pray. We started with some videos of some young children. I love hearing kids pray because they know this. Here's the first thing I want us to consider when we work through this, and that is to remember, keep prayer simple. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by others. When Jesus spoke of prayer in this setting, in response to teaching people how to pray, he spoke against the tradition or the perception of the people of that day, that the Pharisees that would come and proclaim these flowery words that was where the power of prayer could be captured. No. No. I love the message. When you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Do you think he's impressed by our well-crafted prayers? Now, I don't want to somehow infer that perhaps sitting down and taking the time and the thought to write a thoughtful, considered prayer is without value. I'm not saying that. But when we turn it into a show to please man, or in some sense actually seeking to impress God, is there anything that we can do that could impress God? No. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. You see, I think for some people, they liken prayer to, what's his name? It was on TV on Saturday night. I didn't watch it. Harry Potter. That somehow if we craft the special, in-depth, deep-meaning prayer where we layer the words in a particular way, like a magical incarnation. Is that the right word? Incantation. Thank you. Lost my words today, just as well as Zoe's here. This is not how we're called to pray. There are no secret words or phrases. Now, I know that we're taught to pray in the name of Jesus, but that's not specifically saying in the name of Jesus and tack it onto any prayer that we say that somehow that makes that prayer legitimate. No. When we say pray in the name of Jesus, we are actually declaring all that Jesus is, that he is the king, in his authority, in his name. It's like me trying to arrest somebody. If I came and sought to arrest Rachel, which would be a lot of fun, you're under arrest, in the name of Lyndon. Would that work? Where's our resident copper? I think he's out there with the children. It's not. I don't have the authority to do that. Yes? That authority is given by the government, as a police officer, as a vested agent of the government to do that. The same is with this. When we are declaring in the name of Jesus, we are saying my authority to speak to this situation comes from Christ. Because all authority has been given to him. That is why we say in the name of Jesus. We're saying in your name, you are the one that holds authority. If you determine this to be right, I will ask this of you. So we can't craft some special prayer that somehow we can get what we want or have things brought about in a special way because of our particular words. No, no, it comes from Christ. I've run with the word keep, because when I reached this point, I thought of that phrase from a movie: keep it secret, keep it safe. Keep it secret, keep it safe. You know, a few weeks ago, I won't do it again because I almost killed the plant. I smacked a peg into this plant, and I put another peg over here. Often when we explore scripture, it's really important to hold things in tension. That if I seek to form my whole theology of just one part of scripture, it causes me perhaps to swing too far. But by keeping a couple of pegs, it keeps me centered, living out of both those places. I want to give you two of these this morning. When Jesus instructs us about prayer, one of the things he says is go somewhere quiet, somewhere alone. Matthew 6. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. This is in direct contrast to that Pharisee that was out there showing everybody how amazing his prayers were. Jesus is saying, no. Go to your Father alone. Find that quiet, secret place where that intimacy is formed. I'm not a prayer warrior. I'm sorry, you might want your money back. Occasionally in the middle of the night, I'm driven perhaps by a sense of unease or a passion, the stirring, where God will get me up out of bed and I'll open my word and the Lord will be speaking to me and I'll be speaking to him. One occasion got me up out of my bed, up onto a mountain above a city in China, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is to be where I want you to be." There's something special about finding time with just you and God. I'm glad you're still here. As I thought about young Jacob being dedicated, there's a passage that I found which is speaking on prayer that I would love to speak over you as a dad and Nikki as a mum. Rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your heart like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. For in every street they are faint with hunger. It's from Lamentations. The setting here is where a city is being has been surrounded and the food is scarce. There's the Lord has, yeah? It's Lamentations chapter 2. I love this, finger goes up. Where is it? 18. Lamentations chapter 2, 18 and 19. This here, I think, just captures a beautiful sense of what we are called to be as parents. We are, in one sense, to stand in the gap and cry out for our children. Yes, our children have physical needs, but gosh, I want to declare over Jacob that as you guys, parents, pray for him, that'll be spiritual food, eh? What is the spiritual food that we cry out to our Lord? Because in many senses, as a people, as a nation, we are hungry. There is a famine. And for your children, I encourage you, what might it look like to get up in the night and cry out? In saying that, again, I want to quantify. I know there are parents who do this faithfully for their children, and their children appear to be far away. And so, Lord Jesus, we again, in obedience to you, just cry out, Lord Jesus, save our kids. Draw them back to yourself. It is you that reveals yourself to people by your Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, have your way. I ask you in the beautiful name of Jesus. Keep it secret. Keep it safe. Perhaps it might be walking in the park or sitting in your room. Where is that space? Where is that place that you get to talk to Jesus alone? So here's the other peg. There's the alone. But there's also a place. Keep it together. The classic example is in the upper room where the disciples were together praying, worshipping. And what happened? The Spirit of God came. In James, there's the call for the elders to come together, to come and pray, to send people out, to bring healing. It's important that we seek to pray together. What might it look like for us to pray together? I know that we do this sometimes on Sunday mornings. I've been in some interesting situations, which actually, personally, I love. It comes from my charismatic background. Bong prayer, I'm sure you've heard of it. I think it's a Korean word, but it's also used the same word in PNG. So the people, just when you pray, they kind of know that God has multiple ears. He can hear the cry of every person. And so simultaneously, everybody stands and prays in one accord. Not the car. In one accord, they're praying together. And I have to say, I love these times because it just stirs me up. It's like the Spirit of God just starts to bubble. And I get excited. I get affected by God. Now, I know some people say, yeah, we're not supposed to be, you know, affected by feelings and emotions. I just want to say, rubbish. He's made me with emotions. I want to feel and know my God. When I see the children up here dancing and having fun, I want to dance before my God. He's worthy. I want to cry out to my God with all my being. Keep it together. Some of the places that we might be able to do that, and we can. Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Is that right, Peter? Is that where you are? 7 p.m. here on a Tuesday night? Come and pray. So there's a home group that happens every Tuesday night. They meet my office, just where you know that is, just out there. Come and pray. It's wonderful to pray together. Wednesday mornings, 6:30 a.m., we kicked it off this past week, and we had a good little run of people coming through as they somewhere on the way to the gym. So they thought, if I can go to the gym for an hour, I can pray for an hour. Go them. And they did that with others. Some on the way to work. I can give 15 minutes as I go past. Great. Come and give 15 minutes. Come and pray with others. 9:30 a.m. is another time. If you're coming to church and you think, you know what, I would love somebody to pray with me, know that we actually gather together at 9:30 a.m. to pray. Again, in my office. We pray for the service. We pray for people as they're coming to the service. Come and pray with others. And then, of course, there's now, on a Sunday morning. We can pray together, and we will be shortly. Keep it in the Spirit. Listen. Listen and be led by praying in the Spirit. Ephesians 6. Let's have a look at that. Ephesians 6, 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on some occasions. All occasions. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I love this. I love this passage. This passage, when it's talking about praying in the Spirit, it's not there in isolation. It actually follows on from a whole passage where Paul is giving teaching around spiritual armor. You see, when we seek to engage with the world, it's not just in the physical that we fight, but it's against spirits as well. Spirits and principalities. Who is it that has authority over that? Jesus. All authority has been given. All authority has been given to Jesus. So when we pray, Paul gives us this wonderful motif, this picture of this armor like a Roman soldier. And each part speaks to an area that God seeks to bring freedom to the church and to the world, and how he equips us to partner with him. So as you go out into the world, make sure that you have the armor of God on. Make sure you are living and praying by the Spirit. An example of this for myself was going into a home of a woman who had phoned the church. May have told you the story, probably have, need more stories. I went into this home of this lady who had phoned the church and said, "Do you clean houses?" And the person who answered the phone was wise enough to be aware that this wasn't just a call to, "Would you come and vacuum our home?" Though if that had been the request, wouldn't it be neat if as a church we said, "Yeah, we can do that. What she was asking is, and when the further questions were asked, her child was coming home and at night time was seeing what they described as evil spirits. It was oppressive. And so this young child was having to sleep in the bed with their mum, had been doing this for quite some time, and there was this real sense of unease and fear in the home. And so they thought, I'll phone the church, perhaps they can come and clean the house. And so we went to the house, and inside the house was just covered in all these hideous things that just expressed the world in which this family was living. Now, we didn't know it but at that particular time, but this woman had come from a witch's covenant here in Auckland. She belonged to a group of people that spent their time worshipping and focusing their attention on things that are evil. And so it's no wonder there was this sense of unease and lack of peace. And her young 9-year-old, 10-year-old son was having nightmares. And as we walked into the home, I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I turned to her, I said, look, we'd love to pray for your home and to clean it. And God can do that, and we will do that. But what God wants to do is clean you. And so as we prayed with her, without us having to ask, she started taking off these hideous rings and things that were all symbols of the life that she had come from. I didn't need to speak to her for that to happen. The Holy Spirit taught her, you need to clean yourself, remove these things. And then as we finished praying, she just by herself, with us behind her, started going from room to room, picking up things and removing them from her home, because she knew they did not honor the one that she had just given her life to. Would you pray for her? Because in the continuing journey that she has had, she stepped away from that freedom. My prayer is that God will come again. The God full of grace and mercy would come again. What was cool was that her son came home from school that day, walked in the door, and the first thing he said was, Mum, what did you do? The place, it's so light. Isn't that incredible? This is the power of prayer. Not our work, but aligning ourselves with God's work. I want to, gosh, time has just gone. We have to say it, Trump. It has to be part of the message, otherwise, you know, we're totally irrelevant to our world. I know that there'll be some people that will be like, oh, Trump's in control, he's the beast. He's not the beast, he's Trump. It's far worse. That's terrible, isn't it? Hey, I just want to let you know, and I want you to understand, God is in control. Say it with me. God is in control. And so what I want us to do, because how do we respond to something like this? For some people I know, gosh, they're caught between a rock and a hard place, and they had to, for them, they felt they had to vote between the lesser of two evils. There's all sorts of perspectives we can look at that. We didn't have to do that. But we do, year in, year out, in different situations, have to make some pretty big calls. I want to remind us that God is in control. And so I want us to end the service. Would you take half of those, please? And just pass those up. I want you to get into groups of five, four. Would you pass those back through the groups? I'll steal one. I wouldn't steal that one because I don't know who that is. Oh, look what I just got. Awesome. Donald Trump, USA. I know you guys would love to pray for him. Auckland, Phil Goff. How'd you guys like to pray for him? I want us to pray. This is who we are. This is who we're called to be as the people of God. We are called to pray for our leaders. And so you will find on those cards the name of a country and a person. Now, these are not randomly chosen. Look at the missions board. These are the places that your people, those people you saw, those young children praying on the video this morning, these are the people that are serving God with you, with your support, around the world as we do this 40 days, this 40 days of prayer and self-denial. I want you to turn to the people beside you now. Let's pray for those leaders. Let's pray for these countries and ask that God will have his way. Remember, keep it simple. Let's pray. Another 30 seconds. Hmm. 10 seconds. Amen. Amen. So to close off our time, what I'd like us to do is to is to read the Lord's Prayer. This is, I think, from the New Living Translation, I think. No? It's the Message. This is the Message. Yeah, you're right. Of course it is. Yes, it's the Message. Using words like a blaze. I'd love us to stand and read the Lord's Prayer together. As you're doing that, would the front row please get these? Rachel, they're right beside you. And pass them back. With our 40 days of prayer and self-denial, the idea is that we collect some money to send as support for these people serving overseas and towards the cost of that happening. Traditionally, there's been containers that you put that money in. Well, this is a do-it-yourself kit set for building a waka. And the first person, and you're not allowed to do this while we're praying, right? The first person who can bring me one of these made, looking correct, in its cradle, will get a free coffee. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with the things we need. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Bless you guys. Have a great week. We will see you next Sunday. Don't be